Welcome to the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Series podcast. Each week, we'll learn from leaders who are driving change and making an impact. Now here's your host, the CEO of the Youngstown Publishing Company, Jeff Leo Herman. I got the courage in me, let go and let it release.
Don't stop from feeling it, it's time for me to break the stone. Today we're joined by Mr. Kevin Helmick. Kevin is the president and CEO of Farmers National Bank. I tell you what, he's a person of very high integrity, and he surrounds himself with people of very high integrity. So listen today as he shares how he leverages that team and the great people around him to drive his leadership perspectives forward. I'm brave. It's time to make a change. Kevin Helmick, thank you for joining us today. So we know you are a student of leadership, so we're especially looking forward to having you here on the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining us today, Kevin.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. I have seen a number of these. You guys are doing a fantastic job and happy to offer some of my insights.
Absolutely. Well, before we get started on your insights, I think a great place to start is your childhood. So what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, what a lot of kids that I grew up with wanted to be, probably shortstop for the Indians or the Yankees, I suppose. But that dream for a lot of us quickly goes away. So I honestly kind of knew what I wanted to do early on. I had a mother who was a banker, and I had a father who invested in the stock market to help us go to college. And so I early on kind of wanted, I knew I wanted to do something in finance. I thought it was pretty interesting how you could make your money work for you, and saw early on how we could reach goals and things like that. And so I was fortunate enough to have parents that invested in me in an early age, not only monetarily, but also educationally, to say, hey, this is, you know, these are some of the things that you can, how you can make your money work for you. So, you know, being a financial planner was probably by seventh or eighth grade. I knew that was something I'd be interested in.
Young Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
We're dating ourselves.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So could you envision the role you're in today as CEO of Farmers Bank Group, could you envision yourself in that role when you were seven?
You know, I suppose I was thinking maybe a little more entrepreneurial. I was thinking maybe owning my own business and not necessarily working for an established company, but kind of carving my way there. And out of college, when I entered the workforce, I worked for a bank, Security Dollar Bank in Niles, Ohio. And of course, Farmers purchased us in 2000. And so I was able to bring our wealth management group over from Security Dollar Bank into Farmers, who didn't have any wealth management at the time. And through those experiences, I learned so much about the company now 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's really served me well in these years as I move through the management ranks.
Right. Were there things that, say, people you looked up to as a child? So you referenced your parents. Were they the biggest influence on your professional development, or were there outside influences on your professional development?
Yeah, I would say primarily, especially early on, I would say those are the memories that a lot of us have. But you know, my dad, as I mentioned, you know, coached sports teams for me, and, you know, was had a job where he was at home every night, and my mom being a banker, and seeing she worked for one, never changed her office, but worked for four companies in her career. She started out with a small bank, Trumbull Savings, who went to Second National Bank of Warren, ended up at Sky and then Huntington, and retired from Huntington. So I suppose it would be those. And of course, you know, there were a number of teachers through, you know, even middle school, high school, and college that helped me crystallize more and more the path I wanted to take and who I was going to be.
That's great. That's great to hear that educators played a role, especially a career in finance, because that's rare. And especially you and I grew up in, you know, a similar part of town.
Yeah.
And I recall guidance counselors, the world of finance, not well known, right? So maybe stocks and bonds and banking accounts and retail checking accounts, but it's great to hear that educators actually played a big role in your career as a finance. Is there anything they did in particular? Spreadsheets?
Just I had a math teacher in eighth grade that let us do a we had a stock contest, and so I remember you know, my dad helped me pick some stocks, and you know, had AT&T and I think Disney at the time, and we were able to track them through, you know, like a semester back in eighth grade, and watch how they all did and understand that. So I remember that that individual, and then you know, just you know, people that were you know, had their mind in high school, right, said, hey, you know, you need to think about college. You're excelling in the high school atmosphere, so you really should be thinking about college and thinking about a good college. It's not just, you know, any college. Find a college that fits your, you know, kind of your skills and what you want to do in the future. And I was fortunate enough to play a little college baseball, so that's how I made my way to Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania, across the border here. But certainly was a good fit for me, and then had some wonderful professors there that established some really good practices for me in my life to go on to the next level. As a matter of fact, one of my college professors I was very close with, he encouraged me to go on to Case and get my MBA. So I went to Case Western after Allegheny and got my MBA there. And so, yeah, I just think of all the little things that and how it right. went over the years.
What position did you play in baseball?
In high school, I was a shortstop. So I'm about 6'3". So it was kind of unique for my position. And then when I got to college, I played the corner. So I was first and third, nice. In college, but, yeah, so very fond memories. And now I get to see, I have three sons. So, you know, they're kind of dabbling. They're very young, but they're kind of dabbling in that as well. So it's fun to watch them too.
Absolutely. That's good. Well, to keep things moving, let's shift gears towards more present day. Mm-hmm. Who are leaders that you look up to today, and be they local leaders, people say local set of peers, or are there leaders on a national or global level you look up to? Who most inspires your day-to-day thinking around sure. leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I guess I'll start broader. I mean, from a macro level, you know, a couple of people that come to mind, you know, Bill Gates, obviously transitioning from a tremendous innovator, you know, where he created, you know, software that really changed the world and allowed us, you know, from a productivity standpoint, just to completely shift what our expectations were. And then today, more of a philanthropist and more kind of a global thinker, and dabbles in the pandemic and dabbles in, you know, wastewater treatment and underdeveloped countries and things. And so, you know, I there's not a tidbit or a soundbite that goes by where I don't pick my head up and look at what Bill Gates is saying or read something that he said. And you have to give Elon Musk some credit. I mean, just for the innovation. And we were glued to the television when the two astronauts, you know, went right. launched from SpaceX. And then we were also glued when they landed back in the ocean. So it's, you have to give him a lot of credit. There's no perfect leader. And I know it's kind of a politically charged environment these days, but those two individuals come to mind. And locally, I'm fortunate. I have a 9-member board. I'm one of the 9, and then I have 8 other board members. And you know, I look around the room; they're just tremendous leaders. Everybody from, I have Ed Moransky from the Moransky Companies on my board. So I think of Ed in that light. What a great community leader and a business leader he is. I have my chairman's Lance Ciroli. My executive chair is Jim Smale. So you know, I'm leaving some of them out. Believe me, they all have a tremendous impact on their communities and I know in farmers. So it's wonderful. And I've had a hand in building that board a little bit. And so it's great to surround yourselves with those types of people.
Is there a common trait or characteristic that defines a leader or a board member at Farmers?
Yeah. You know, I think first and foremost, I mean, we're a very stakeholder driven company. I mean, we understand who our stakeholders are. We understand, We have a good understanding of what needs to happen for each stakeholder. And so we do it with, you know, I believe a fair, through a fair process. I think we do it with one of integrity and ethically minded. And those are some of the things I'm most proud of, but also creativity and innovation. We take the appropriate levels of risk. I think in business, a lot of times, whether you're an entrepreneur or somebody like more like me, I suppose we're some entrepreneurial in some ways, but we are a, you know, a NASDAQ Russell 2000 publicly traded company. So a lot of people don't think of us especially in the banking space, is being entrepreneurial. But certainly, we believe we are. We've done a number of acquisitions in the past few years. Since 2013, we've done 6 acquisitions, spending almost $200 million in capital investment to acquire those businesses, and have 4 or 5 times the net income that we did then. So, you have to have a board who understands risks, who understands how to assess it, and understands the ROIs. And so I think when you balance all those things, the chemistry, the culture, the core values, with the ability to have the financial wherewithal, those are the things that we look for. It sounds like a lot, and it is, but at this level, that's the expectation.
Right. If I'm thinking of a career in finance, say I'm a student in high school or coming into college, what area should I prepare for? What should my course of study be, from a practical practitioner standpoint, but also from a leadership standpoint?
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, you have the kind of the core management classes. It's always good to have some of that. And so many people want to shy away from economics. And so, but macroeconomics in the economics field is just so valuable. It's, there's a lot of life lessons in there. When you understand macroeconomics, it really helps in the financial world as well, because what interest rates are historic lows. Well, what does that mean? How does that impact bonds, stocks? How does it impact government spending and leverage that you're doing, that companies or individuals can do? So I think those, management courses, economics, and then as you want to drill into it, financials. And I think accreditation is carries a lot of weight too. I'm a certified financial planner. That's something I'm very proud of. I have a number of securities licenses that I maintain still, even in the seat of CEO. These are things I worked on over the last 25 years, and they're very hard to attain. But they add value to your decision making process, I believe. So anything that young people can get, in the way of certifications and additional education, I think is good. So.
I heard the average age of the wealth manager, investment manager is in the 60s. So is that a career opportunity for students of today?
Tremendous. I mean, and not only that, but we're running up on the largest wealth transfer in the history of America. So, right. You think about the baby boomers and the trillions that are going to be shifted. And so where does that money go? Because we have now Gen X, you have millennials, you have Gen I, you have all these different generations and how they view spending and how they view saving and investing. And so I think the opportunities for financial advisors and the wealth management space is tremendous, because a lot of that money is going to be up for grabs, so to speak, to the best advisors out there.
Right. And with rates staying where they're at, everyone's plowing money into equity still. And even the boomers are still playing, in equities and still have positions that are tenuous.
Yeah, no, that's right.
What does a warrior mean? It means be brave with how I treat connections.
The Brain Gain is a collaborative effort, and we'd like to thank headlining members of the coalition, including Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoney Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Also included are Farmers Bank Group, Youngstown State University, Eastern Gateway Community College, Cortland Bank, MS Consultants, and 898 Marketing.
So specific to leadership lessons, oftentimes we learn most from our mistakes. And are there any leadership mistakes you've made you'd care to share, and what outcome was created? What did you learn from it, and how did it actually make you better?
Yeah, I think early in my career, making sound decisions, and I've always said this. I said that the two things I believe why I'm in the seat I'm in today is, number one, I surrounded myself with the best people I could. So surround yourself with just the best people you can. Who you surround yourself, so important. The second thing is make sound decisions, make good decisions. And so those two things might sound easy, but it's kind of the blocking and tackling of life and of business life. And so I would like to say that I've surrounded myself with the right people personally and professionally that have encouraged me where I needed it, have persuaded me where I've needed it. And that might be persuasion into something or out of something. And then out of that, you see, you know, good decisions being modeled, hopefully by others in your life.
Right.
And so those decisions are as sound as you possibly can. It's just giving yourself the best opportunity to grow, to thrive, to prosper, to stay healthy, whatever it is, you, your family. So I think those are important things. So early on, I don't think I had that crisp understanding of decision-making, and maybe making decisions off the cuff or trusting my instincts a little too much rather than using the best people that I had around me, understanding the decision-making process a little bit better. So there are mistakes that I made probably because I made too quick of a decision. I made too quick of a decision to opt in or opt out of something as it pertains to the business. And so those are great learning lessons. And if you can take that and learn that process, know who you can trust in your life, put the best people around you in your life, and then just watch their decisions, make your own decisions, and develop and grow like that. To me, that's been a really key ingredient in my success.
Right. It process over outcomes, right? So in many cases, you could have had a bad process, but a great outcome. And one would call that luck.
Where
a great process and a bad outcome, sometimes there are things beyond your control. So to encourage students to really, like you said, focus on the sound process and intense collaboration. I find that in this environment, it requires lots of input from lots of individuals with a variety of perspectives, and diversity is critical, especially today, in considering all of your stakeholders. Have you taken special steps towards improving inclusion or gaining broader perspectives?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, in a couple of things on that. I mean, it is you're exactly right. And for young people today, I think it is important to get a variety of different vantage points. You know, we're fortunate to have some diversity on our leadership team. And so it's just so important today to understand and to not make decisions in a vacuum. And I'll digress a little and give you an example. In my personal life, my oldest son was born with, unbeknownst to us, some congenital heart defects when he was born. So I kind of launched in, and it reminds me a little bit of the pandemic and what you just said about, you know, you have to react to things sometimes that are out of your control. So my son's born with these issues, and he's 9 years old today, and he's had 3 open heart surgeries. And so I will tell you, to get from where he was when he was born to where he is today, which is he plays baseball, he played basketball for his school last year, he rides his bike, he runs, he jumps, he does all the normal things you would expect. He eats, you know, more than you and I together, Jeff. So, but that's what you want a child to do. I mean, that's what you want a typical 9-year old boy to do. And there's no way he could have done that. And so the only way to do it was for my wife and I to go out and to research and to just bring all these different vantage points together. And so we used Akron Children's Hospital, was just wonderful to us. And, you know, you think about regional leaders, Bill Considine, the retired leader at Akron Children's, and now Grace Wilkolchek, both do a fantastic job of leading in the region from a healthcare system standpoint. But what they did, and then the University of Michigan and Boston Children's Hospital, and the collaboration that we had, and all the various decisions and the different vantage points that we had to collect this information and make decisions about our son's life. And so he was the first. He was the 12th child in the world to get a valve in his mitral valve that could grow with him. So we were in Boston Children's Hospital, and we were there in 2013, and his surgery was on April 9th, 2013, and on April 15th, the Boston Marathon bombing happened. So we were in the hospital in Boston when all this happened. So he came out of that. He did very well. And then last year he went back, and they were able to actually insert another valve through his leg into his chest. And so he continues to do well. So just the personal experience of what we saw there, the collaboration of these medical teams at the highest level from different healthcare systems, Boston Children's was relaying information to Akron and vice versa. And the innovation, the expertise, the execution, the precise execution of this, it's a life lesson that I'll take forever. And it wasn't from a homogenous set of people. This was from a very diverse set of people with very different backgrounds. And so we're so blessed to have been a part of that, and so blessed that we have our son where he is.
Absolutely. And that experience, I'm sure, keeps you grounded every single day, and just being grateful and thankful for the little things that we all, you know, take for granted. Right.
So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I'm a recovering baseball player from, you know, 25 years ago, and to even see my son do something as simple as field a ground ball or hit a ball or something like that. It's just, you know, when he was 1 or 2 years old, we didn't think it was possible. Doctors were telling us, you know, this could go, you know, one direction or another. We're not sure. And to see him do this. So
yeah, that's great. That's a great feeling. Lessons. Makes it end of every day rewarding to go home and see the kids and the smiles. I'm sure is, brightens up the day every day.
Exactly. Well,
that's important. And I'm glad to hear that he's doing well now. And interesting what you learned from that experience, and then especially referencing Boston and the diverse set of stakeholders to you know, reach a great outcome. What does this region specifically need, do you think, to keep growing and progressing and just to support the brain gain, more entrepreneurs, workforce development, really just keeping our kids here and in fact, bringing some home. So anything you can think of that would help that effort?
Yeah, I think it's an acknowledgement of what we do well, and it's acknowledgement maybe of what the opportunities to improve are, and just capitalizing in some of those areas. I think, listen, the Mahoning Valley, I mean, we have been long known as a great workforce. We provide tremendous labor. You know, we have a loyal workforce. We have, we have a loyal consumer base. You know, I've said this before, I'm so excited for Lordstown Motors because, you know, if this goes well, I mean, which all indications are that it will, we have an opportunity here to provide a wonderful consumer base for that, you know, and I'm excited about that. I mean, our businesses, you know, using the trucks from out there and potentially as they continue to develop, I think we'll be one of the best customers. So I think we need to leverage on some of the strengths that we have. We need to be open-minded. We need to be open-minded in the way that we're not, we embrace the technology. I think the YBI, I mean, that's been a fantastic thing. The collaboration that they've had with Youngstown State University over the years. I mean, that's so inspirational. And some of the businesses that we've come out of there with, you know, additive manufacturing and my good friend Mike Garvey down there and some of the great things he's doing with M7 and Chuck George. And so you have some of these leaders that are just doing such a fantastic job and they're not afraid of what's possible and they continue to drive it. And I think if we inspire and create an ethical and moral foundation in the Mahoning Valley for business and government, I think that people can stand on a good foundation to create, to be innovation and to create and to keep our kids here. I think it can work, but there's not a silver bullet. You know, it's going to be years of, you know, it's going to be years of this. It's going to be years of our politicians and our business leaders collaborating and doing the right things. You know, and it starts today. You know, it's like the saying, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? And it was yesterday. And so the tree needs to be planted. I think we're planting the tree with some of the collaborations I've seen. And I know Farmers is proud to do our part in the community and be a beacon of stability and financial health and just doing what's right. So I think if our kids see that, it's a great place to raise a family. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. We deal with people all over the country. I deal with investment bankers. We deal with investment analysts, people on Wall Street. And these are kids that are now in their 30s and 40s that left, okay, for these jobs. And I'll run into a young man we do business with who lives in Chicago, and he grew up in Twinsburg. And he tells me, hey, we have a three-year-old, and we want to get back. We want to get back to near the valley. We want to get back to Northeast Ohio because of how great it is to raise a family, the cost of living and all those things. And so it's just too bad. We don't want them to realize that 15 to 20 years after they have left. Let's have them realize it when they're 18 and 20 years old. And I think some of those things we can do would help that.
Great. Well, Kevin, we're bringing this conversation to a close. So we thank you for sharing your professional and personal experiences from a leadership standpoint. Do you have a favorite quote that, say, you look to that motivates or inspires you day to day?
I would say, from a favorite quote standpoint, I mean, the one thing that I use from a practical standpoint the most is what I said earlier. And I know it's a mishmash of a couple different people, but it's surround yourself with the best people you can and make the best decisions you can, make sound decisions. And I know there's a Ronald Reagan quote that talks a lot about, that the best leaders have the best people around them. And that's it. You know, you need to inspire. I think of his video, the shining city on a hill, where he talks right. about inspiring people. And as leaders, I think we need to be inspirational. It's not necessarily my favorite book, but it's a recent book too. And there's some great quotes and snippets in there. The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger at Disney. Good some book. Of the things that he's went through in his career, and he remade Disney, but some of the things that he went through just in the span of a few weeks when they opened Disney Shanghai, they had the tragic situation at one of their resorts where the young boy was taken by an alligator. And then they also had in Orlando, the Pulse nightclub shooting. Those things all happened in a 2 months time frame. And the leadership lessons that he talks about in The Ride of a Lifetime is pretty interesting. So, we just try as leaders, we try to absorb all those things and stay grounded. But that, I guess, here nearing the end, Jeff, that's what I would offer.
Great. Well, Kevin, we thank you. You've been very generous with your time today. We thank you so much for joining us here on the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Podcast. Thanks so much.
Great job, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Before we go, I'd like to thank members of the Brain Gain Coalition, especially our great sponsors. Without them, none of this would be possible. So a big thank you goes to Sweeney, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoning Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Thanks so much for their support. And also, please follow, like, and subscribe to this series on your favorite podcast player. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn, one of my favorite places. You can find me over there at Jeff Leo Herman. And send me a message. I will see you next time. I'm growing up in this life and to the human that I need to be. I know that I am not alone. I'm brave. I got what it takes. I